When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
The Amazing Race Specialist Kyle and McKenna are back and ready to talk about this episode of The Amazing Race. We are continuing in Bali, which was fun. And then we also found out that they got to stay with the locals. They were invited into their homes for that pit stop of the race. And I don't remember anything quite like that happening where it's not like game related. It was just like they shared this anecdote about what happened at the pit stop.
Yeah, I don't remember it either. We hardly ever see them in like sleeping quarters or where they stay overnight. Mm-hmm. So that was really, really cool. And it, of course, tied into the culture of where they were. So,
yeah.
Awesome.
So these times don't wind up mattering because once they get to where they need to be, it opens at 8 a.m. But Jonathan and Anna leave at 4:53 a.m. And Pops and Jeff leave last at 6:05. And the kind of group that all grouped together was at like 5:57 to 6 to 6:05, like that was the big group. So the express pass was about an hour, which it didn't seem like that because Carson and Jack left at 5:40. Mm-hmm. So it didn't seem like Jonathan and Anna from the edit left that much earlier than everyone, which I feel like because there was an equalizer, it even puts them worse off using the express pass too.
Yes.
They didn't even get that bonus in the next leg from the express pass. So all around, only an hour difference, and they don't even get to use it.
Yeah, I guess going forward in the Amazing Race, you can, I guess, save your express pass for a leg that there is an equalizer because it's less likely there's going to be another one right after. So,
all right, here's how we game the Amazing Race.
Yes, we have to game the Amazing Race because there are so many twists. Is it Jack or Carson that said there's going to be a twist every leg? Like, I don't know if they know that for sure, but I mean,
so far it has been.
So, yes, you have to game it now.
Yeah. So they went to this monkey sanctuary. It opened at 8 a.m. So all of the teams were there and Phil actually met them here at the monkey sanctuary and they had to do a live double U-turn vote. And this is how the two teams were determined to do the U-turn, which was so revealing.
Very revealing. I loved it personally. Mm-hmm. Because I like when these teams get mad at each other or work together to try and take down the two teams at the top, which is what we ended up seeing happen. And I also liked it because in a traditional U-turn, it's whoever gets there first and then subsequently afterwards are the ones that get to make the decisions. So in this instance, we saw the teams at the bottom and towards the back of the pack were able to come up, make the majority, and make the decision. It's usually just the rich keep getting richer up at the top, which is how I described it before. But in this instance, you actually got to see teams at the bottom make use of the U-turn. We don't usually see that happen.
Yeah, exactly. So we had a, a good chunk on Scott and Lori and Jonathan and Anna. And Jonathan and Anna were the only ones to not vote for either of the teams. And they got Nick and Mike. And I feel like if you are at the top of the pack, you almost want to vote for those teams that are kind of consistently coming in the bottom, because then they're guaranteed to go home pretty much. So like voting for both Jonathan and Anna and Scott and Lori, you know, one of them is coming back, and you just have to hope that it's not the one you voted for. So like Carson and Jack, they voted for Jonathan and Anna, and they were like, oh, we didn't know like you guys would vote for us. Well, that stinks. And now they're coming back. So now that bridge might be burned, especially because they gave them the 20 pounds price and not the 25.
Yeah. And we heard Jonathan and Anna in their little strategy session there say Carson and Jack are the biggest threat here. Carson and Jack said themselves, nobody voted for us. Like, we're, you know, nobody's seeing us as a threat. So this could be something that puts them on the radar. One interesting thing, a big announcement. I now know the difference between Mike and Nick. I've got it.
You do.
I now know the difference. And unfortunately, it took a piece of rice to the eye to be able to make the distinction. But more important thing is that now we know.
Now we know. Whenever I ask who did this roadblock, you'll be like, with certainty.
I can tell you. Yeah.
Okay. So after they deal with this vote, Phil gives them their clue and they're on their way. It did seem like nobody was rushing. They were all like, okay, let me just rip this clue in this monkey sanctuary. But they got the clue to the detour, which is coconuts or coral. Deliver 60 coconuts on bike to a vendor. And coral is build a reef star and put that reef star in the water. Kyle, how are you in the water?
I'm good in the water, I think.
All right. Because if this was having to ride the bike,
yeah,
I don't think we'd be doing that one. But I feel like coconuts is just so grueling that you and I could probably figure out coral.
I think so too. But this had to be a situation where it was way harder than it looked, because personally, it didn't look that hard. And yet there were those couple of teams that just couldn't figure it out. And I found that interesting. I was like, this doesn't seem like that hard of a task, but I wasn't there. So I don't know.
I don't have any saltwater tanks as of yet, but like I have watched, you know, aquarium videos and things on YouTube. So maybe the aquarium knowledge will come into play with corals. but we did see an imbalance of, again, the detours, where only Mark and Brett and Jack and Carson chose to do this side of the detour. We had the force of Jonathan and Anna and Scott and Lori, but everyone else chose to do the grunt work, which is coconuts. But I feel like in certain aspects, yes, it is good to go with the surefire physical thing, but I feel like this wasn't that crazy detail, or I mean, it was detail oriented, but it wasn't like so insane as some other detours we've seen.
Yeah, it was only 18 pieces, and it is detail oriented, but the details that they were missing was like, oh, this piece is purple and not green. And it took them forever to figure that out. Yeah. So it's like, I think if you are just paying attention, and I get that they were exhausted and they were probably stressed about having to do the other side of the detour as well. But as far as detail oriented tasks go, this is one of the easier ones. I think the more difficult part of it was swimming all the way out there and putting it in there. And we saw Jonathan and Anna struggle with that part as well.
It seemed like, they just had to at least be like maybe waist deep, because Lori did not go, or at least we weren't shown for Lori going out deep past the buoys.
I guess. And yeah.
So I don't know, because, you know, Anna is a little bit smaller. She was getting rocked by these waves. So maybe she just had to get like a certain amount in for Jonathan to be able to drop the reef star. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The coconuts. That was so grueling. I would never want to do that. That seemed like it took forever. And some teams got it in two trips, and I don't know why others didn't get it in two trips. Like Scott and Lori, two trips, 30 coconuts each. But Nick and Mike, who you'd assume
could
get this done, no, 15.
No.
And have to go back for four at one point.
I don't know. I mean, I personally would try to go all of it at once. You know, like not all of it once, all of it in two tries. All of it.
Yeah, all right.
Eliminate the amount of time, not at once. But I was thinking, like, if you live on like the second story. So like I live on the second story. If I'm bringing something upstairs and I have a lot on my hands, I'm thinking I'm not coming all the way back down here. Like I'm doing this in one trip and I'm just going to make it work because it's not worth it to go back again. So I think to do 15 times, it would be easier, I guess, to transport 15 coconuts than 30, of course. But like, I think that would take so much longer personally than doing the 30, because that walk that they had to do was so long. You have to go there and back. If you do it four times like Melinda and Erica did, that's eight times of the walk right there, once there. So that to me is going to take more time than just going slow and steady. Alyssa and Josiah did that. I thought that was smart. So two trips of 30, I think, is absolutely the way to go for this.
And it even hindered their roadblock plans of wanting Melinda to do the roadblock this time, but she was too exhausted from the coconuts. So maybe she wouldn't have been as exhausted with those two trips. I did like these two detours, though. I feel like sometimes I see a detour and I'm like, hell no. But I think both detours are like definitely doable and like not the worst.
This wasn't the worst. Even the coconuts, I think, as far as grueling goes, it did look grueling, but it was straightforward. And
yeah,
so
and then we have surfing. Who wants to meet their match? I think either of us could probably do this, but if you're a Cali boy.
I am a Cali boy. I've never gone surfing at all, but one thing I do love is paddleboarding.
All right, and so this is somewhat you're going to meet your match.
Yes, I am going to meet the match. I think I would have a blast with this one, so I would probably volunteer to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw that with Scott and Lori, where Lori was like, if this is surfing or in the water, like you should do it. So you can kind of assume what the roadblock might be based on your location. So
see it out there, you know.
Yeah. I would definitely send you in that water gladly and have fun. But here we see the rise of Mark and Brett.
Yes.
We were talking about
last
episode, like these two should be doing better, but the game isn't letting them. Mm-hmm. And now we see them run a clean race and they're at the top of the pack.
Yeah. I mean, I figured it was going to happen. Just if they didn't get lost or get whatever paired with a bad team, that they would rise up to the top because they're super skilled in these challenges. And they did get first. Right? Did they not? Yeah, they got first on this leg.
And
so
10 grand. That's insane, too.
I know. That was a huge prize. So I expect them to stay up at the top of the pack. I think that they're going to do really well.
Jairo Garcia says, Melinda and Erica, I think Melinda needs to do a roadblock because she's only done one and Erica's done four. But we're on episode 5, so would it be 3-1, or was there a double roadblock? I forget.
Well, I think this is the fourth. Like Erica did this one, so she's done.
Oh, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, so she's done 4 out of the 5. That's
I feel like Melinda has to, like, they might have in their clue for the next roadblock, like Melinda has to do this roadblock.
Oh, yeah,
I think there's like a wiggle room of like two, maybe three now roadblocks until the other person has to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking, there's 12 legs total. So there's seven legs left. Mm-hmm. Eric has already done four of the roadblocks. So Melinda is going to have to do the vast majority of these coming up here. And
that's scary.
When they have no wiggle room, right? When these teams start to go home, I mean, this is where it's, and Melinda's going to have to do these roadblocks. So this is where it's going to probably come back to bite them.
Mm-hmm. We see Carson do this roadblock, and they've kind of been going, sorry, Jack do this roadblock. They've been going back and forth pretty regularly, but it seems like Carson has more of the skill sets for the roadblocks, and they're that Jack is the person that they're trying to see which would be best for Jack to do. It's just from my perception, seems that like, oh, this seems like I can do it. This seems not, oh yeah, you definitely take this one, I'll take the next one kind of thing. It seems like they're trying to see where Jack can fit into certain roadblocks.
Yeah, this worked for him so far. Keeping it even.
Like, I'm slow, but I can do it.
Yeah, and they didn't need to go fast, right? They didn't need to catch up to anybody. They're up at the top of the pack. They have the wiggle room to afford to let Jack do a roadblock that, you know, maybe he's slow, but if they're in a pinch, like if they get U-turned, Carson, you do this one, you'll be fast. And then that's when they're able to use him to catch back up.
Then we see Josiah pretty much ace this one too. Pops goes out and does the work. Pops, they said he was good in the water, and you know, they are that grunt work team, so they are just like going at it head first. Once again, Han and Holden
every time.
Anna's like, I'm going to take this roadblock because I surf. And then she surfs in to shore. And
that was so cool. Like, that was.
Han and Holden are this crazy team that I wouldn't expect from like episode one to do well, but they are slowly rising to the top here. And with having certain things that you can just go out and ace. I mean, that's such a benefit. The race isn't doing it on purpose, obviously, but it just so happens I know how to surf, or my family were rice farmers. You know, it's like,
it's crazy. They're good at everything. It reminds me of the two brothers who won a couple of seasons ago, where like they were in France and they had to memorize a menu in French. And one of them was like, oh, I studied abroad in France for
a year.
And it was like everything. Like, of course you did. Like everything. They were like, oh, we did this. We did that. Like how? They're just good at so many things. And I mean, that's what you need to win the race. So, you know, it's good on them. They're very well-rounded.
We had Mike take this roadblock because Nick's eye was still hurt that it might need some visual thing. Then Erica, like we said, took this, and Jonathan took it because, Anna has this fear of water, and, my fiance and I just started rewatching season 22 of The Race, and we have the brothers, there are another set of brothers, but they're also terrified of the water. So I just like, we watched this last night, and now I'm watching this morning, and Anna's also kind of terrified of the water. And I'm like, this is the race. You got to do things.
Heights in the water. You know, those are two big things that come up. So I think we need to talk about Jonathan and Anna a little bit here.
Yes, please. Let's do.
They are falling apart. Mm-hmm. Jonathan, I'm kind of done with this guy. I'm out on Jonathan.
Yes.
You know, I think Anna is doing her best, specifically with dealing with him. Like, I mean, she's doing her best in the race, but also Jonathan is a type of personality who needs a lot of like support, or I guess I don't know what to call it, because she's trying to support him and he's like, I have a headache. I have a headache. Shh. And it's like, you are annoying. Like, you are the one causing the problem here.
Because, like, did you see when he finished surfing, she, like, went to go and, like, look at the clue, and he was like, no. And he, like, moved his hand away so she couldn't grab the clue, and I was like...
He's, like, aggressive and passive-aggressive at the same time. you know what I mean? Where he was like, oh, you can't hold up the bike. I need you to hold the bike. And then she couldn't do it. And he's like, okay, you can't do it. It's like, come on. Like, you put 30 coconuts on there, man. Like, be reasonable. And he's not reasonable in these circumstances. And I get it, right? Like, they had to do both sides of the U-turn. They're exhausted. But it's not a good look. Like,
they may not work well together. He's just taking a nap in the roadblock. He's just sleeping on the surfboard.
So, yeah.
I was so hoping that Scott and Lori could somehow pass them. I thought, I was hoping Jonathan was taking too much of a nap. He was swimming back and he stopped paddling.
He stopped. He just like passed out on the surfboard when they were doing the coconuts. He just took a seat on the step and was drinking some water. I couldn't believe that they survived this episode, to be honest with you. With everything that happened, I was shocked.
Just like the minute details of like, all right, so I'm going to sit and drink this water. Okay, that's, you know, 5 minutes diminished, six minutes diminished. Like you keep losing that gap of time that you could be ahead of a team. And now they're just like solidly in the back.
They're way back. And Anna was the one who figured out the coral thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, no thanks. No, like, oh, good job. Like, oh, you're giving me a headache.
We saw a glimpse of this in episode one where they kind of everyone caught back up to them and they were like, well, we were in first. We didn't.
Oh, and I called that out right away. I was like, Jonathan is going to be throwing a fit. And we see it here. Saw it last week. Saw it in the first episode. So we'll just see where this goes. But they need to get it together, obviously, because they're just so far behind now.
Yeah, and I hope there's no equalizer this episode, because then they might leave being far behind people, because I feel like Jonathan's attitude is just so much worse than having some of these other teams around that might be a weaker team.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I would like it if they went... he reminds me a little bit of Vinny from last season. Not as bad, but a little bit.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
He was the worst. Well,
yeah. All right. Well, anything else on this episode of the race? Did you watch the previously on, Kyle? What are we in for next?
I think next episode looks awesome. They're like going underwater. There's a car there. They're skydiving. Like, it looks like next week is going to be awesome. I do want to pin it. How do I pin this comment here?
I can. Which one?
Who is getting the winner edit of The Amazing Race? I don't think Amazing Race really does that. I think that that's more of like a Survivor thing, because I've thought about this a lot, like watching the seasons of The Amazing Race, and I always get it wrong. They don't really edit. I don't think based on the winner. They're just kind of editing, you know, who's hot right now, who's struggling right now. Bernie and Kerrigan got the first confessional of the season. I remember it, and they're gone. So I mean, you know, they just don't think that way. I don't think.
I think Scott and Lori were getting such a big edit too, and now they're out of the race.
Yeah, which is crazy. I mean, shout out to Scott and Lori. Give them a minute here. I mean, this is the race. They kind of got screwed, but it is the race. But I was surprised that they weren't able to come back and make up the time.
I was too, especially with Jack and Carson saying, look at the coral, the colors and everything like that. Mm-hmm. As they were running by while Scott and Lori were doing the coconuts. Yeah. So I don't know. I wish they could have made a better showing in this season, because they were such a dominant team, even though they were saying, oh, woe is me, we're not. I mean, they had to have known that they were a dominant team in this race.
They did, and they said that at the U-turn vote, where Scott was like, "Oh, me spreading positivity and acting like this and that is not, you know, that's just me. That's crazy that you guys think that." And they are positive people. I obviously 100% mm-hmm. believe that. But you also have to know that when you're consistently up at the top, people are going to be looking at you that way and think maybe you are using it as a strategy. It's not a crazy thing to think. So, yeah, they just got.
They just got. And I feel like if the Amazing Race is going to do another returnee season at mm-hmm. some point, I think Scott and Lori are locks.
Absolutely. Yeah, they were great. And then a strong team. So they'd be at the top of my list for sure.
Yeah. Alrighty, everyone. Well, that does it for this episode of The Amazing Race. We'll catch you next Thursday for another riveting episode of The Race. Goodbye, everyone.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.